If every call was killing somebody that didn't go through, what would you do? Well, you wouldn't do what the FCC asked because the killing would go on.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Daniel Berninger. He is a former principal at ITXC, an early VoIP system, as well as Vonage, probably the best known VoIP system. He's now working at VCXC, which is trying to accomplish a transition from old telephone lines to IP only.
To all IP network. Yeah.
Okay. We are talking today about the second dumbest thing that the FCC has gotten involved in lately, and it's not Title II for the internet. It is something called RCC, or Rural Call Completion. What is that, and
sure,
why should we be worried about it?
Right, so Rural Call Completion is a FCC order trying to address complaints in rural areas that people are not getting calls. And so if you think about the telephone network, what it does is complete calls. You know, when you say a car, what does it do? It moves forward. Call completion is what the telephone network does. And so people are and should be concerned that all those calls get completed.
And this is, you know, the FCC has a technical definition for what counts as a rural call.
Right.
We'll say it's somewhere out where there aren't many people.
Right.
It tends to be on older lines and people using old dial-up service as opposed to VoIP or anything like that.
Right.
And a sizable number of calls or a certain number of calls aren't getting through.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we don't know how many. We've had complaints, but one of the issues is that we haven't quantified how big a problem it is.
But in looking into this, the FCC a couple of years ago, they ended up having a couple of dissent decrees against companies like Windstream and Level 3 saying, you guys aren't doing enough, you've got to pay a fine and try and make a better, have better completion rates.
Right.
So the RCC order comes out, and what is the FCC saying that telephone companies now have to do?
Right, so the FCC did investigations, three or four investigations, and fined companies. And they said, well, this is taking too long. So can we automate this process? And so what they've asked is all telephone companies, literally, whether you're Skype or Verizon, AT&T, all companies in the United States of America to report on a quarterly basis whether or not their calls are completed. All trillion calls.
Okay, and it's about a trillion calls.
So
a
it may
year
be. I don't think it's more than a trillion. It may be 925 billion.
Right.
I don't know. But for argument's sake.
And what they're saying is that your call completion rate, if you're a telephone company, to rural numbers, has to be within 2% of your average call completion rate.
Right.
Otherwise,
you have to do an investigation and you get fined, et cetera. So part of the issue here is that the original investigations were triggered by complaints. You know, a customer believes they're not getting a phone call, that triggers a complaint. The problem with the order is that the FCC didn't like waiting for complaints, and so they're actually trying to use this data collection to find problems. And there's a bit of a problem there because the data, there's not enough information in the data for them to find problems.
And it's also now what this means is that the FCC is going to be compiling massive amounts of metadata, essentially, the same stuff that kind of freaked people out when the NSA was doing it.
Right. So the FCC will have rules, or has rules, about the carriers to collect that data and then to aggregate it and report summaries to the FCC on a quarterly basis.
You know, what's the harm in just having the FCC say, hey, you know what, just you're keeping records somewhere anyway, just give them to us.
Right. So a couple of things. One is that the data that the FCC gets just won't mean anything. They won't be able to extract problems. So if you think about the telephone network, it's this huge physical system. It's sort of a fabric that covers the planet. There are alarms and systems in there that sort of identifies problems. But those alarms and systems are really real-time, meant for, you know, the 10,000 staff that are sitting there staring at the screens all the time to detect problems. So when you don't get a call, you're really upset, but that event, one event again among the trillion, is pretty quiet, pretty a silent event inside the network. So finding the problem is very difficult, and the FCC recognized that. So instead of actually finding the problems inside the network, what they've asked for is tell us about all your successful calls. Okay, and they think they can extrapolate from this number of successful calls, this differential between rural and non-rural, something. And there is no information there in terms of that they can say, well, that's a problem and that's not a problem. And so the harm is a great deal of effort for no solution. So I guess the metaphor I use, if every call was killing somebody that didn't go through, what would you do? Well, you wouldn't do what the FCC asked because the killing would go on. In other words, it's just there's no value.
Is the FCC facing a kind of existential crisis? You know, it's a very old agency. It's been around, you know, for decades now. And it was designed to do things like, you know, keep the telephone company when they basically only allowed one to run the country in line. Do you think that they're doing stuff like this in order to kind of extend their legitimacy into the 21st century?
Well, in the sense that they want to have a role and they want to sort of assert themselves. The problem is no one's evaluating exactly what their contribution is. Basically, their existence is justified by this a theory that government would be useful here. All right, so if you get to the point where you say, I have a telephone network run by a bunch of companies and the government would be useful here, that's as far as we've gotten. Nobody actually sort of evaluates, okay, what is the contribution of the government?
How would companies, absent this kind of order or this kind of ongoing investigation, really, how would they address this? And do they have any incentive to actually?
They do, in the sense that rural call completion is not really rural call completion, it's call completion in general, right? And you and I using the telephone, our sense of the reliability of that device is essential in terms of us buying that service. And so it's in the incentive of all the carriers to make sure call completion is as high as it can be. And you know, and so as these issues are raised, people would like to solve this problem.
So does that, I mean, but then does that explain why Level 3 or other carriers were, I mean, were they having very bad completion rates? I mean, did they deserve to get
right, hit? So the question is, sort of two things. One, is there like a technical glitch or a switch problem that would cause call completion rates to decline? The presumption is that there's actors inside the network that are deciding not to complete certain calls because they're relatively more expensive.
Right.
And that's to rural areas. And so the sense is, well, let's go find those bad actors. And in some cases, just for random reasons, the FCC asks for some data from a particular carrier. They notice that, oh, well, your call answer rates into this rural area are not super high, let's go study that some more. So from the moment of complaint and as you dig in, maybe you can find a problem, okay? But the problem, again, with the FCC going from there, from complaint to investigation, to just collect everything, they go off the rails.
Tell us a little bit about VCXC.
Sure.
The dream is to move from a kind of hybrid system of old-style telephone lines and switches to an all-IP system. What's the great benefit of that?
Sure.
And then who are your funders?
Sure, sure. So I started at Bell Laboratories in 99 or 91, and the first day at the office, I said, well, we're going to transform communications. I mean, we're just going to change the world. Well, it didn't quite happen. It turns out that the telephone network as it exists was sort of invulnerable to innovation. It just did a voice call, and if you wanted to say do fax, you needed to turn the fax into a voice call. If you wanted to do data, you got to turn data into a voice call. It just did voice calls. Well, come around 1995, when the internet and the IP network showed up, you now have a new network that can do everything. And so what's happened since then is that network has kind of washed away the old network. And so now we have a communication network that can do everything. The problem is we haven't been able to turn off that old network. Mm-hmm. And so VCXC is trying to coordinate between the operators being able to turn off and shut down that old network. Now, the win is that we get a communication system like the internet, where every telephone call you make becomes high definition. It becomes sort of meterless no matter where you're calling on the planet. So on the other side of this process, we get voice calls like we have internet, where you go to a website in New Zealand, you just don't care. Well, everyone connected to this new network will have high definition, meterless voice calls and shrink the world. And my funders in this are the usual suspects. So AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, some of the smaller players, Ooma, which is a VoIP player. And everybody We're kind of stuck in the middle of the river at this point. Policy is now just turned back to sort of the 1934 policy for the new network. And so we'll have to see how it plays out. But the technology is rushing ahead. We're waiting for the policy to catch up.
All right, we'll leave it there. We've been talking with Dan Berninger of VCXC about the Rural Call Completion Order, or RCC, which is the FCC's second biggest mistake that it's made recently. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.